So Luke 11:29-36. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. When they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." Growing up, my mother was very clean and tidy. You would often hear the sound of the vacuum cleaner, and on Saturdays, and probably other days when we were at school, but certainly on Saturdays, the twin tub would be going. Anyone remember the twin tub? You'd wash in one side, you'd spin in the other, and that would be whirring away all morning as all the laundry was cleaned. Now, as you know, she is blind, and she relies upon other people to do the cleaning. She might put a jumper on, but she can't see if the jumper is clean. She doesn't see if the table is dirty or if she drops food on the floor. And it's actually as if everything around her is darkness. Spiritually, there is a similar thing happening to people. They don't see the dirt and the disorder, not of the outward things of their life or their home, but of their hearts. This is the picture that Jesus is describing here. They don't see the self-centeredness or the self-defense or the self-reliance that comes from our pride. If they upset someone, they might realize that the other person is upset, but they don't really see themselves as the ones to blame. They readily see other people at fault, but not themselves. This is part of what it means to be in darkness. Now imagine someone comes with a bright light and shines into the dark rooms of that person's heart. It's a filthy mess. They can't see it. They've not been able to do anything to clear up that mess. And the light shows up what the darkness has kept hidden. And of course, it's a painful experience for the person to realize just what a filthy mess their heart really is. When they realize what they're actually like, it is not a pleasant experience. And at that point, they have a choice. Either they can say, "Turn that light off, turn away from that light, I don't want to be shown what I'm really like," and then try and forget what their heart is like. Or they can accept the light and the deep clean that can now begin. This is what really these verses are all about. Jesus is the light of the lamp that is not hidden. He is there for everyone to see. His light shines into our hearts. And those who have healthy eyes, they see that light and they are filled with light. Those who have unhealthy eyes don't let the light in and they remain in darkness. And I think key to understanding these verses, which are not immediately obvious, I think the key is this. There are two different lamps here. In verse 33, we have the lamp who is Jesus, as we will see, and his light. And then there's also the lamp of your body, which is your eye. But they're two different lamps. And once you grasp that, the whole passage becomes much more easy to understand. So hopefully, just given that little illustration right from the outset, you'll see where we're going. These verses are all about Jesus, who is the light, and about our eyes, how we see Jesus. That, as we see, is the context of this passage. And the message is simply this. Jesus is calling you to welcome his light. Verse 35, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. He is calling us not to make a few outward changes so that you can come across a bit better to other people. It's a call for you to be filled with light. Light into every part of your being. Verse 36, therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines on you. This is what Jesus is able to do, to bring his light into every part of our lives so that nothing is hidden. All can be changed. Religion and popular psychology, they may be able to help you to improve outwardly a little bit and for a time. Jesus comes to change us from the inside, a true and a radical change. How does this happen? Well, I've only got 2 points today, so I hope you don't mind. It's not the normal three, just 2 points. And the first is simply this. What do? We need to come to the light. Come to the light. Verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Do you get the picture? There's a room or a house. I mean, houses in those days probably were just one room for most people. And it's nighttime, it's all dark, and then someone lights a lamp. And it's put up on the lampstand, it's there, maybe on the table, on a high place in the room, and the whole of the room is filled with light. You don't hide that light. And then anyone who wants light comes into the room. Outside it's dark, but you come in and you see the light. This is the first thing you need to do. You need to come in to see the light. The people had been asking Jesus for a sign from heaven to show who he was. But Jesus had been showing them all along who he was. His miracles demonstrated to them that he had come from God. Nicodemus recognizes this. No one can do these signs that you are doing unless they come from God, says Nicodemus. He had driven out demons. So verse 14, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. They see this light. They see Jesus doing these powerful miracles. He's demonstrating that he is the light of the world who has come into the world, who is dispelling the darkness. And he was there for all of them to see. And actually, it wasn't just through his miracles that he was showing the world who he was. His wisdom, as we saw last week, was greater than Solomon's wisdom. No one else spoke like this man. Remember the time they sent the temple guards to arrest Jesus and they just couldn't? No one ever spoke like him. What wisdom, what authority that he spoke with. His preaching was greater than Jonah's, as we saw last week. At Jonah's preaching, the whole of Nineveh repented. And here is Jesus, a greater than Jonah is here. Anyone who comes into this room where that light is shining can see there is something unique, something utterly marvelous at Jesus. If only people would come near, they would see the light in Jesus. How brightly he shone. He stood out in stark contrast to everyone around him. His behavior, his character, in every way, he showed that he was the light. It's interesting. Jesus just has described himself as something greater than Solomon's wisdom, than Jonah's preaching. I've just been thinking, there are so many other places in Scripture where Jesus is described as greater than someone. He's greater than the angels in Hebrews 1. Those powerful beings, one angel could send an army packing. And yet, what do the angels do? They worship him. They fall before Christ in worship. He is greater than the angels. He's greater than Abraham. Abraham, the father of the people of God, the father of all who have faith. And yet Jesus was greater than Abraham. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Yes, says Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8. Greater than Abraham? Yes. Jesus was greater than Jacob. Jacob had given them a well. And that well continued to give them water for 2,000 years. I don't know if Jacob's well is still there, but that's pretty good going, isn't it? If you could dig a well that provided for your descendants for 2,000 years, are you greater than our father Jacob, says the woman at the well? Oh, yes, says Jesus. Because if you asked me, I could give you living water. Something far greater than this water. You've got to keep coming back to this well. It cannot truly satisfy you. Come to me and I'll give you living water. Water that will satisfy you deeply. Water that will well up into eternal life. He's greater than Jacob. He's greater than Moses. Moses, that powerful prophet, the one who, until he was 120 years of age, was able to lead the people of Israel, and he took them out of Egypt. He defeated under God's hand Pharaoh and all his armies. He led those people. He gave them the law. What a great prophet. Oh, Jesus is greater over God's household than a prophet called Moses. He is the son. Moses is just the steward of the household. Jesus is the son. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the Old Testament priests. If you sinned against God, you needed a priest. You had to go with your offering to that priest, otherwise you could not be forgiven. But those priests, they had to offer sacrifices again and again for their own sins as well as the sins of the people. But Jesus is greater. He is the great high priest. He offered one sacrifice for all time. Never again did he have to offer a sacrifice. And as we've often said, the one piece of furniture you didn't have in the temple was a chair. But Jesus sat down. Why? Because he finished his work. The priests never finished their work. Jesus is greater than the priests. By one sacrifice. And he doesn't go into a temple made by hands. He goes into the true temple, into the greater sanctuary in heaven. You see, Jesus is so much greater. Greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah, greater than Abraham, greater than the priests and the prophets and the kings of Israel. And the more you contemplate Jesus, this one who shines so brightly, the greater that you will see Jesus to be also. You know, I've been a Christian for over 45 years. Sounds a very long time, and it is a long time. And I still find more and more about Jesus that excites me, that amazes me. We will go throughout eternity, and we will still be amazed at the majesty, the glory, the love, the grace of Jesus Christ. Things of this world we get tired of eventually, don't we? You know, the first time you have that amazing food, it's just so wonderful. Someone was describing the other day that they had a certain, I think it was cheesecake or something, and that they had to lie down just to enjoy that moment. It wasn't me. But I can understand. Can you all just be quiet a minute while I enjoy this Lindt chocolate? Ah. But you know, that might happen the first time. It might even happen the second, third, fifth, 1,000 times. It's not going to have the same impact. Jesus Christ, the glory shines constantly. Does the sun wear out, constantly gives its rays, its warmth, its energy. Does the ocean get emptied? You take a bucketful from the ocean, you're not going to empty the ocean. Such is the love and the majesty and the fullness of Jesus Christ. You will never grow tired of him. But you know, the thing that I'm most amazed at Jesus, is his love. His love is beyond measure. He is glorious, he is wise, he is powerful, he is good. He is the very Son of God, and he loves me. How brightly do you see the glory of Jesus when you see his compassion to those who are completely undeserving. How great is the glory of Christ when you know that he loves you? So enter that room. Look at that light. Come to that light. Contemplate Christ more and more. And as we behold him, as we look upon him, we are being transformed. This is the first thing we do. We come to that light. Enter that room. How? Well, go where he can be seen. In the Bible, in church, amongst Christians. Christ is with his people. That's why fellowship does something to us. When we meet together as Christians, it does something. You can't explain it, but it does something to you. It draws you closer. It helps you to see more of Christ. As you read the Bible, that word washes you of the wrong thoughts, of the idolatry, and it fills you with Christ. Because the whole of the Bible is full of him. Yeah, start in the Gospels. If you're a young Christian, the Gospels are a great place to start. But every page of Scripture is full of Jesus. That's what Jesus himself said. These are the Scriptures that speak of me. You know, if you're reading the Bible, any part of the Bible, and you haven't seen Jesus there, you've not read that page properly. Or you might need to do a little bit of work to think, oh yeah, I see now how this points to Jesus. Do that little bit of work. You will be richly rewarded. It's not just a story about a battle here or a genealogy there. It's pointing you to Jesus, to more and more of his glory, of his light. So come into that room. The light is shining. Christ has entered this world. The light is shining, but draw near to it. Give time to thinking about him. My second heading, receive the light. Come to the light. Secondly, receive the light. You see, it's one thing to come to that light, but then you have to receive it. The light can be shining brightly, but if you don't see it, if you don't let that light into your eye, it is not going to do you any good. As you know, my mother is blind. One day she was sat and the sun was shining directly on her face. And I said, can you tell that the sun is shining on you? And she said, I can feel its warmth, but it looks no different. She used to be able to see a little bit. And when she was a child, she could see a lot better, but completely blind now. That light is doing no good to her. And at this point, Jesus talks about having a healthy or unhealthy eye. Verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they're unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Remember, there are two lamps in this paragraph. There's the lamp that is the light Jesus, and there is the lamp that is your eye. And it's seen as a lamp because it lets the light in. And if you have a healthy eye, you can see and you benefit from the light. If your eye is unhealthy, maybe you have cataracts or you're blind or the eye's been scarred because of some injury, and then you're in darkness. Notice the implication of what Jesus says here is that actually there's no light naturally within you. Without the light of Jesus, you are in darkness. Oh, you might be opening your eyes to other things, to the wisdom of this world, but you'll still be in darkness. Only the light of the world gives light. Verse 34 again. Your eyes are the lamp of the body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Without that light from Jesus coming into your life, you are full of darkness. We need to remember this because we live in a pluralistic society where religion is all seen as the same ultimately. Well, you have your light, I'll have my light. No. Jesus says you're in darkness. Without his light, you're in darkness. Just as a room without a light is in darkness, so your heart without Jesus is in darkness. If you think you have enough light, through your own wisdom and insight, or through the wisdom and insight of the world, then you're going to be unwilling to turn to Jesus. And you're going to still be in darkness. Now, sometimes we don't want our hearts to be filled with light. And this is what that generation was like that Jesus is speaking to here. They thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't. They were using their own supposed light as they looked at Jesus. So verse 15, some of them said, "By Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Jesus shows how illogical that was. If Satan is divided against himself, his kingdom cannot stand. They don't have any light. They're completely illogical. They're in darkness. They think they have light. And because they think they have light, they're not receiving that light. They're not receiving Jesus. They saw his miracles, but they didn't actually see who he was. It was as if they're in the room, but they're unable to see. They simply wouldn't accept his authority. They wouldn't accept who he was. They wouldn't believe his words. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. The problem was not with the light, but with their eyes, their unwillingness to accept the light. Their eyes were bad. It's as if their eyes are completely scarred over and they just cannot see. The word healthy means literally unfolded. It's like clear. If you've got a piece of clear plastic, unfold it, you can see through it. If you scrumple it all up, you're not going to be able to see clearly. Not that they had plastic in those days, but you get the idea. What a world with no plastic, but really, that's another matter. Sometimes we don't want our hearts to be filled with light. It's painful, isn't it? You know, it's like when you lift a slab in the garden and there are all the creatures and the sun is suddenly beaming down on them. And what do? They scurry away. They don't like the light. And we're like that sometimes, aren't we? We don't want the light of God's word of Jesus to shine in our hearts. We rather like our lusts. We get some satisfaction from thinking of how we're going to get our own back on that person who's hurt us. We enjoy feeling that we deserve better than what we've got. We readily find excuses for our laziness. We rather like our sin. And then the light shines. And it shows us up, and it shows us to be worse than we ever thought we really were. And we don't want to know. We don't want to know. We don't like being shown up. Oh yes, the warning signs come every so often. We lose our temper. We do something or say something that we know we shouldn't. And yet it's, as Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus' words come to us in verse 35. "See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Here's the one command in this passage. See to it. And he's talking to the individual. You one person, you individual, see to it that the light within you is not darkness. You can't determine what happens to the person next to you, but what about your eye? See to it that the light within you is not darkness. Here are the warning signs. The things that do pop out. The impatience. The greed. The unkind words. I read this week of a man, middle-aged man, had stomach pains and was losing weight. And he did nothing about it for months. And eventually he went to the doctor and they sent him off for a scan. But it was too late. He was riddled with cancer. Bile duct cancer. Within 3 weeks, he had died. And what made it even more tragic was that he was a doctor. He ought to have known better. He should have seen the warning signs. But he ignored those symptoms. His wife, Thelma Ainsworth, wrote a book expressing that the grief and the difficulty she had coming to terms with what happened. The book was called I'm a Wolf Tonight. And within that book, she urges people, do not ignore the warning signs. Can I urge you, don't ignore the symptoms that show the sin within your heart. You can't hide it from everyone, and Jesus knows you through and through, but he also cares. Why else did he come into this world? Why would the light come into this world? He didn't come to bring that light that he might restore people. Don't think Jesus is there to shame you. Don't think he's there to hurt you. He comes as that light to help you. Receive that light. Receive that light. Maybe you feel the darkness within you is too great, or that you've been like that for too long, or that you've sinned just too many times. If this room were pitch black, middle of the night, no street lights outside, power cut, not even the clock working, and I lit one candle and placed it here, this big room would be filled with light. If one candle can do that, cannot Jesus, the light of the world, dispel all the darkness within us? You're not too far gone. You haven't sinned too many times. His light will reach the whole of you. Verse 36. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. Isn't that wonderful? Don't despair when you see that sin within. Or we're tempted to. Satan wants you to despair. Satan does not want you to go to Jesus. Satan wants you to go the other way. And Jesus says, no, come. Come into that room. Come to where my light is shining. And receive that light. Because that light will dispel the darkness and will replace it with what is good. The selfishness will be replaced with generosity and kindness. The suspicion will be replaced with trust. The anger will be replaced with peace. The hatred will be replaced with love. Instead of plotting revenge, you will plan how to do good to others, even to your enemies. Instead of gratifying your lusts, you will delight in what is truly good. You will delight in God himself. My mother's house is still clean and tidy. Why? Because she trusts other people to clean and tidy it for her. You need someone else to clean and tidy up your life. Will you trust Jesus to transform you? To make you a child of the light, and to clean you and tidy you each day.